Steam locomotives were some of the most powerful machines ever built. They pulled trains that fueled our imagination. They represented vision, collaboration, ingenuity, customer service, and extraordinary human achievement. But in order to get to their destination, it took someone guiding them through a series of switches in order to get to the main line. Just like leaders today, it takes someone directing them down the right path in order to get to their destination. Welcome to Mainline Executive Coaching ACT, which stands for and Cultural Transformation, hosted by Master Certified Intelligent Leadership Executive Coaches Michael Bailey and Rich Barron. With over 50 years of successful cultural transformation and quantum leadership development between them. Once again, thanks for joining us and enjoy today's show.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us today. This is Mainline Executive Coaching, ACT. We are here to help you. Mainline Executive Coaching, we are doing this for you as leaders. Mainline Executive Coaching and ACT and cultural transformation. So it's leaders, culture, transformation for leaders, teams, culture, the whole ball of wax. That's what we're doing here. We're focusing again on HR, human resources. We want to talk a little bit about human resources and the important role they play. And it's probably not necessarily the important role that kind of is out there that we see so much. And our kind of our play on this one here, we talked about it, Rich, is this. HR, you set the tone for the entire organization. As Rich said, you are the face of the organization, of the culture. But you're also, you are kind of the, your professionalism or lack thereof, and your lack of being the arbitrator in terms of being really fair, not political agendas, not favoritism, none of that other kind of bullcrap that you see, you know, so much alive. You got ones that got the fair and honest arbitrators, and then solicit for what is best in the organization, not just for this person or that person. So that's kind of our position here. Rich, open that up for some more.
You know, I think it's important to note that we have a lot of experience in working with different organizations. And not only that, working with as job coaches as well, volunteer job coaches, we work with, I've worked with hundreds of people looking, you know, to get back into the workforce. Going to give you a quick analogy of this. There wasn't too long ago, Michael, you and I walked into a company. And from the outside, it was a big, nice, beautiful building, great building. But as we got closer, we noticed that all the employees were parked out in the back. There was employee parking that was quite a ways away from the front of the building. But in order to get through the employee entrance, they had to pass all these different Tesla chargers where these guys were, their Teslas were parked. There was chargers there. And it was almost, you know, and I've talked about this before, it was kind of crossing the line to get into the building. So when we did, Michael, we crossed the line, essentially went into the front doors into this big, beautiful atrium style lobby that there wasn't a single person in. We had appointments to be there. We had a appointment to meet. Matter of fact, we had an appointment to meet the director of HR there. But as we walked in, there was nobody home. And we kind of looked around for a minute, and pretty soon from way up above.
I would say it was pretty soon. It was a while.
It was a while. Okay, yeah. It was a while. We were there probably a good 10, 15 minutes looking around for somebody. We couldn't find anybody. Now, this is a business that's open for business. We're open for business, right? We have an appointment. And pretty soon from above, not pretty soon again, a few minutes, however long it took. Can I help you? Someone yelled down from up above. Oh, yeah.
I'm looking around. Where is that voice coming from?
Yeah, where is it? You know, here's the thing is no matter how big and beautiful your building is, no matter how successful that organization may be, our first perception of this organization was it was very disorganized, very unfriendly, very, where's those people? We had appointments here. Did no one meet us? And not only that, then the person we were meeting with was 45 minutes late. It was 45 minutes late. And so we sat there and waited and waited, and they finally got there. And it was very, very interesting. Okay. So back using that analogy, HR, you are the face of the organization. Now we talk about culture. Culture is a top-down function. It starts with the CEO. But time and time again, we've seen this so many times, the bottleneck of that culture is HR. Now, I don't say this lightly. I really don't, because we know a lot of great HR people. But time and time again, we see that bottleneck right there at HR. And then the culture changes. Why is that? Why is that the case?
Dude, one of the things is, I think this is a sad truth, is that for many, many HR departments, it becomes about political personal power. That's what I think it does.
Yeah.
Instead of about professionalism and people.
Yeah.
That becomes this whole new thing, this, fiefdoms, a silo in itself about, how yes. you should be and how things are supposed to be. The question I have is oftentimes that we hear about HR is, we're here to protect the C-level. From what?
From what? Yeah, we hear that a lot. Yeah, what do you have to protect the sea level from?
Yeah, if your organization has got in place a great vision, and it's backed up by real core values that you believe in, real core principles that you adhere to, and you've got a mission statement, and underlining all of that is a strong, clear, specific core purpose statement, and you adhere to all of that. What are you concerned about being protected from? It's only when you don't adhere to it, when you go off and you do things other than that, what you say and you espouse, that's why you need protection, because you aren't living ethically. You aren't living morally. You aren't living according to what the standards that you've set. That's why you need to have this kind of adversarial HR department.
Right.
That's the problem there. So if that's what's going on in your organization, it's not protection from, it's about protecting yourself.
Yeah.
That's what it's really all about. And that's not a good place to be for any organization. It gets into that institutional imperative.
Yeah.
So, and once you go to institutional imperative, that is now anti-people. You can't be a human resource when you are anti-people.
Yes. Yeah. It's interesting, Michael, a business that I was working with recently, they had a town hall. They had a town hall and they just hired a brand new HR person for that facility. And so they had a town hall in order to introduce her to everybody. The first thing that came out of her mouth, and I'm telling you, when she introduced herself, "Hi, this is my name. I am not here to fire you." That was the first thing that came out of that person's mouth. "Hi, I'm this so-and-so, and I'm not here to fire you." There had to be a lot of explaining after that wasn't the case. And even in conversation with this person, it's like, probably wasn't the best way to start off your introduction to, the people in this company. So, I just think there are, and I'm not.
It's kind of like Michael Corleone says, "Here, just to have dinner, and I don't have a gun in the bathroom, so we're safe."
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. You're good. I'm not going to go in the bathroom anyway, I think. But the point is, and we're not here to slam HR. We really aren't. We want to make a point of, there needs to be a change. And I'm just going to say that. Here's the thing. And I'm gonna unpack this a little bit, Michael, because a recent survey that featured 18,000 HR leaders. Okay, 18,000 HR leaders in this survey. 83% of these HR people that were asked said, yes, leadership development is very important. It's important for the success of our company. And then you could break that down with all sorts of other surveys with, you know, how much of a leadership pipeline is out there and, you know, how they're struggling here and there. But out of that 83%, only 5% was actively involved in leadership development or seeking leadership development. Now, here's my argument on this, okay? We do a lot of marketing, Michael, right? We do a lot of marketing. And in order to do this, you know, we send out about 1,000 emails a week, roughly, that, you know, that I send out to different organizations, you know, and a lot of these emails go out to CEOs or, you know, particularly HR, and it's all senior level HR, like director of HR, or chief people officer, something like that, along with a lot of CEOs, because we talked about leadership development. And a lot of times we get very nice emails back. Hey, you know, we're not ready right now. Let's talk in a couple months. Or we've already got something we're working on. That's great. Well, you know, but thank you so much. It was very interesting. Well, we get a lot of very nice emails back. Sometimes we don't hear from anything. But there are times there, and I'm not just saying times, we get actually quite a few of these back, where they're just downright nasty emails. Just go away. Disappear. You know, I got called a sewer rat once. You're just a sewer rat. You know, because that's honest. I can show you the email. Here's the thing. I'm going to tell you that 100%, and I'm not making this up, 100% of those emails come from one department, HR. Now, here's the thing. I'm not saying we get bad emails from 100% of the HR people we email them to. But 100% of those nasty emails coming back are from people in HR in senior level HR positions. Now, I know I'm not going to read into this anything. I'm just saying, if you're the face of that company, you've already told me all I need to know about the culture of your organization, about your resolve for leadership development, about, you know, your turnover rates, anything else. We can really look into this. And it may not be the case, but the simple fact of the matter is you're the face of that organization. So that's automatically, there's a company that really needs some help.
Yeah. After all, it is human resources. It is about human beings.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, about power plays and position and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I mean, if anything, and I think there's kind of an understanding about that. HR really should be carrying the moral fabric of the organization. I mean, they really should be the guards of, you know, this is who we are. This is what we stand for. This is what we're all about. We let people in and talk to them, you know, whether they're people coming for employment or even vendors coming in to present kinds of training that they can do. It's got to be that face, as you're saying, that face of we're open, we're friendly. We're kind people. We're serious about business and we're serious about what we do here. Yeah. But we are a very human resource department, not just a resource department. Or it's a resource. That's what we do. If that's the case, and I agree with you. I think they are one of the prime giveaways, or that department's a prime giveaway if that's a toxic organization or a healthy organization.
It is absolutely a prime giveaway. And, you know, there's a lot of things that HR needs to do. You know, they have to uphold the policies. In a lot of ways, they have to, you know, implement those policies or design those policies. But, you know, and that's fine. That's all about accountability. That's all about making sure we're all playing. We're firm. We're fair. We're consistent. We're on the same
playing field. It's the win-win mentality.
Absolutely. It's when those are become the primary focus of what we do, therein lies where the change takes place.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's become a political seat of power, then you're no longer a human resource.
Yeah.
You are no longer human. You are now the ends yep. justify the means organization. Yep. That is not a good place, a healthy place, or really a humane place
right.
or anything. So if you are out there, human resource leaders, and you're doing a great job, we applaud you. We think you're absolutely wonderful. Keep up the great work and keep showing people the way to how to really get that stuff done. You know, there should be some awards for really truly, not politically motivated, but truly some great standards for HR where you can say, this place really does live up to the expectations of a great HR department. If they had maybe had some more of that and it wasn't political, it's so hard not to go political and those kinds of things. But if you really were, man, that could set a whole new tone for all businesses everywhere.
You know, and it's very interesting, Michael, that some of the true rock stars of the people that we have coached, the people that we have gone through, you know, coaching development with, or our group journeys, or even one-on-one coaching, are HR people. One of them in particular is a global director of HR for a very large organization, and he truly is a rock star.
He is. He
truly is. When it comes to leadership, yeah.
He is. He's an extraordinary human being. And you know what? He doesn't tell us that. He shows us that.
Oh, yeah. He shows us that.
His dedication, his hard work, the way he looks after his people, the way he trains them, the way he holds them accountable. I mean, you know, he's told us stories about, you know, when things haven't gotten very good. And you thought, okay, now this is where he's going to go off the rails and give them a hammer. He's going to do that. And he never does.
No.
He's always very kind and asking questions and opening up the situation. And he always takes, well, I got to do a better job.
Yeah. He's very empathetic. Very empathetic leader.
He's tremendous. All right. Let's wrap this up. Do you have any call outs or shout outs to anybody? I got one here.
Okay. Who?
Muncie, Indiana.
Muncie?
Yeah, Muncie, Indiana.
Muncie, Indiana.
Brand new. I don't think I've ever seen Muncie on our downloads before, but we've got one from Muncie. Muncie, how are you doing?
Isn't, and I may be wrong, but isn't that where Purdue University is?
I think so.
All right. And if I'm wrong, please somebody tell me. But reach out to us and tell us. That'd be a great way to break the ice, right?
That's right. Well, you're wrong.
It's not.
I think you're right.
But anyway, great. Welcome, Muncie, Indiana. And I hope you enjoy what we're saying. And again, we're all on this rock together, right? Let's take care of each other. Let's realize that, you know, we hold people's careers in our hands as leaders. No matter what leadership position we're in, we hold the future of others in our hands. So make sure you're taking care of that. Make sure you realize that is a privilege and it's an honor.
And leaders lead well. Yeah. It's your duty. It's your calling. Do it. All the best.
With all of the issues facing leaders and organizations today, you need executive coaching more than ever. Go to our websites, RichBaronExecutiveCoaching.com or MichaelBailey.com. You can also find us both on LinkedIn. Reach out to us and let's sit down and find out just how bright your future can be with executive coaching. We'd also like to thank all of our supporters in over 60 countries and 600 cities worldwide who have helped to make us one of the top executive coaching podcasts in the world. From Rich Baron and Michael Bailey, this is Mainline Executive Coaching ACT. Thank you and take care.